I'm giving just a humble testimony of when and how I met the Lord. I cannot give this testimony without telling some of my life story, unfortunately, because it's involved. I am not trying to justify myself before you, not at all. Father knows my heart. Without prejudice or pride in myself or anybody, I give all the glory to the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit for any good thing that may have come in my life in the past, now, and that may come in the future. Also, what I have spoken outright in this testimony, Father in heaven, or what I have not spoken outright in this testimony, Father in heaven someday may bring some of it to the forefront at the great white throne judgment. Yes, Father will fill in between those lines as he replays all the sinful things I may have done. I thank Father for Jesus Christ. He is my advocate before our Father in heaven. Could we please bow our heads while I pray? Father in heaven, I ask you to help me in my attempt to give my testimony to this church family and my family, to tell the story of you, Father, in my life. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will be here beside me and not allow me to disgrace you in anything I may say. Amen. This is what I will attempt to do right now, explain where my faith sprang from. I'm not able to quote much scripture. Right off the top of my head, at least, though I have some of it written in my heart and in my mind. Now I have four statements to make, two questions to ask. One question, who may have prayed for me in the past? And why me, Lord? I believe in angels, as they have spoken of and have been spoken of in our Holy Scriptures in Psalm 91 and Matthew 18:10. Father said to me, I am here. I wondered. My testimony now that I have begun to understand in retrospect, I've been there and done that, so to speak. It's history. I have a belief in Father in heaven and in his providence. He knew me and watched over me in his way from a very small child. Not sure in a specific way why, except that he loves me as he does all of his children. Why did he bless me so much? Did someone back there in my past pray for me? Maybe. Indeed, probably. Perhaps my life has been an answered prayer. I don't know. I won't know until I ask him myself sometime. After the end of time, in the new heaven and earth, when all these things in this life will be made clear to all men that are good, and all men that are evil, they too will know. Those two who do not know the Lord, will be explained to them. At that time, we will all see clearly. Then we will all have full spiritual discernment. I honestly believe my prayers have been answered many times as far back as I can remember. I believe in 1948, at least, that is when my earliest, really, sincere prayer occurred. I will get to that story in just a minute. First, if I may, I want to read a story that will kind of illustrate something of faith of Father's divine providence, which is played out over and over again in the world every single day. Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. In December 2008, a 10-year-old Gianna Siglia of Chesterland, Ohio, decided to plug her boombox to listen to some music. She did not notice she was standing in a small puddle of water at the time. In an instant, 110 volts of electricity went through her body. It was like a big explosion, she said. Suddenly, there was this gray cloud in front of my eyes. And then my eyes went blurry. I just heard a big boom. And that's all I was concentrating on. Gianna's parents raised their daughter, or they rushed their daughter to the emergency room. The hospital staff couldn't believe the child had survived the incident. Her mother showed them the scorch marks on her white shirt and the slightly melted gold crucifix Gianna had been wearing. The left hand of Jesus was missing, and the entire cross was covered in soot. Her teacher said, "We look at someone like Gianna, who is such a sweet child to begin with, and we say, of course it's a miracle. This may be just one example of God's providential love for this child, a manifestation of divine care and direction." I would be interested to know, however, how her life develops after what happened to her. Father has a plan for her, as he does all of us. Did she hear him? When we believe in Jesus Christ, he is active in our lives to continually protect and bless us in ways we may never know or fully appreciate in this life. Today in prayer, thank the Lord that he may have credited you with righteousness because of your faith in him. Oh yes, when I was a child, I walked a scary, insecure existence, missing my mother so much, and my biological father, not much. Not knowing what life was all about, where I fit in, I will tell a little of the churches and the people who may have played a part in how our Father in Heaven has blessed me personally and how he has revealed himself to me. Believe me, when I was young, I had no idea how much. It took time for that to be revealed to me, as it will most young people. My first experience with church was probably about four years old. It was before school anyway. And I remember once, my earthly father walked us, me and my older sister Beverly, down Hudson Street to South Main Street and all across the bridge, all the way to the Trinity Episcopal Church. And it was just that one time with my own parent. It was frightening. And I recall that church. It was huge. And to a little child, it was hard to understand. And I was sprinkled in that church. My father's family were affiliated with it, but they did not attend, as far as I can remember. My father was raised by his maternal grandparents. His father ran off shortly after the wedding and before my father was born, and I have no idea what he may have believed. None whatsoever. My father's mother lived with her parents most of her life. She was epileptic, and so they kind of raised my father. My paternal grandmother lived there with her parents, but she did serve in the Salvation Army. I know that much. She had some kind of faith, I believe. Neither my father's side of the family nor my mother's, they never talked about God at all, at least not when I was around them. Bit about my family, my mother's family. Again, just for the sake of understanding and to show why it was so improbable in human terms that I, Bob Caw, should ever come to be born again. Born of the Spirit. Born of water and born of the Spirit. I could never remember my mother attending church, though she taught us the child's prayer. You all know the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Well, I've known that since I was a little child, and it was on the wall in the bedroom when I was a little child. And I often wondered about that prayer. Who gave it to us? Did my mother purchase that? I don't know. Never occurred to me to ask. My mother's father was a backslidden Pentecostal with a severe weakness for alcohol. Beloved by his children, though he was. They all lived through the Depression, hard times. I suppose it was tough on him, but he tried. There again, he never spoke to us children. They had quite a lot of grandchildren, but he tried, I believe. My maternal grandmother, I don't know. I don't know that she went along with my grandfather, but I believe she may have been a backslidden SDA. Now, this sounds funny, as she herself would eat no pork, but she was willing to cook it for her family of 11 kids and didn't attend church as far as I know. Her father and mother were SDAs in Elmira. Their names were Archie and Martha Force. They were on the register in this church years ago and at one time, but they are now sleeping in their graves. Archie is on one of the bronze commemorative plaques, my great-grandfather, in the East Hall just outside that door over there. But, you know, it's funny. When I came here, I had no idea that Grandpa Forrest went to this church. Isn't that strange? But he did. And I didn't know him very well, but his image is in my mind that I could almost draw a picture of that man right now. Because I would see him around town now and then. Say, "Hi, Grandpa," and he had so many grandchildren, I doubt he even knew whose I was, but I did see him. I never got to know Martha and him very well at all. These details that are kind of leading to how I came to the Lord. Being called in a still small voice by the Lord. My parents, they were divorced, and it was a short marriage, maybe 10 years. Most of those years, they were separated. What I'm about to tell you about the people in my life, the relationships, is superfluous at most. It was really complicated with many. Many tears to go around. Foster homes. I don't know. I didn't know as a child what to think of these people I went to live with in foster homes. And I thought at times wrongly they were my adversaries. As a child, it just, you know, I could see it no other way. It was their fault I was separated from my beloved mother, whom in my eyes could do no wrong. There were three of us by 1942. My older sister, Beverly, she's 2 years older than me. My brother, younger, Tommy, Thomas, he was 2 years younger than me. Tom was killed back in 1971 in an industrial accident. Well, Father in Heaven gave us our first social worker. Her name was Mrs. Jane Turner. She was a blessed woman indeed, who was a Christian. She saw to it that we were placed in Christian homes. For some reason, she had to split us up, though, into separate homes for a while. The first time we were together, that is, Beverly and I together, but Tommy was placed in a home in Corning. We went to live with some people named Baker in Elmira Heights, nice people. We attended the Oakwood Avenue Methodist Church. I did learn some things about our Lord while I was there, mostly children's hymns. The Bakers went to a different church. They were Presbyterian, I believe. In the summer, the Gideons came to Baker's and told their Bible stories on the front porch, and all the neighborhood kids were invited to come. You know, they set the easel up there and they would tell stories and all the kids just loved it. Father in Heaven wasn't in my thoughts at all at that time, at 6 years old. But we did learn Bible stories from them. The next home for me was in 1946. I was placed at Brown's in Venetian. They were good people. They were farmers. They may have been Catholic, I'm not sure, as they would drop me off at the Methodist church on Sundays. I didn't learn much while I was at that church, at least that I can recall. Father in Heaven wasn't in my thoughts, like as I said before, when you're 6 years old, it's kind of a foggy thing for you, but at that particular church, I don't recall anything that was, you know, significant in my heart. But then began my knowing the Lord who hears. It began in 1948 when I was 8 years old. I went to live with Mrs. Jenny Hoffman, Aunt Jenny as she was wont to be called. She was a Baptist, a wonderful, stern lady. She lived on East Sullivanville Road. She was no relation to me, though. We would read the Bible at night at the kitchen table in front of the old wood stove. She let me sometimes brush her long hair that she always kept in a bun on her head, but she'd give me the brush and say, "Bobby, comb my hair." She was a wonderful woman. We'd sit at the table and she let me read. I couldn't read too well, but she would let me read some, and then she would read. She had one foster girl that lived there at the time I did, and we would all sit around there and read nights. The foster girl's name was May Edwards. She's passed away now, I found out later. We attended the Horseheads Baptist Church and Bible school in the summer. I learned to pray while at Aunt Jenny's. I first really knew Jesus as my Savior there, and that He answers prayer. This is only one, the first story of my prayers being answered. Though it seems a simple prayer of desperation, it made a big impression on me. The school I attended was a one-room schoolhouse down the road about a mile or so. It was right on the corner of Jackson Creek Road, and Sullivanville Road. And it was my job on the way home from school, from time to time, to get the milk supply for Aunt Jenny at his brother's farm that was about a halfway between the school and Aunt Jenny's. Well, Aunt Jenny had fashioned a cloth carrying bag that had two pouches in it that neatly held two mason jars separated by a wall of cloth sewn into it. I don't believe Aunt Jenny realized just how long that strap was for carrying it. As wouldn't you just know, the bottom just met the road when an 8-year-old boy carried it. Unless he held it up by bending his elbows, it was heavy. The farm had a her brother's farm, the Neals, they had a black and white sheepdog who just loved to nip at my heels. I was scared of the dog as he almost always chased me unless he was called off. On that first fateful day, the bottom bumped the road and broke one of the jars. Aunt Jenny forgave me, but the next time I did it, she just happened to be waiting in the front yard, wouldn't you know? When she saw me, she went to the lilac bush and broke off a switch, and I just knew what would be forthcoming. So I dropped the bag in the grass and ran across the lawn into the back door. I turned right at the pantry and ran down and hid behind the last cupboard in the corner, crying and praying out loud. You can imagine the prayer of an 8-year-old. Well, Aunt Jenny came in and she looked at me and she grinned. She put the switch down and told me to be more careful the next time. While crying, I told her about the dog and I had to run to avoid him biting me. I never remember breaking one of those jars again. From then on, prayer was more than now I lay me down to sleep. I also learned of the Ten Commandments while at Aunt Jenny's. Then it was back, all three of us with our mother for a short time in 1949. I was 9 then. It was less than a year that we lived with her. I also had a stepfather and a new baby sister now, my half-sister Marilyn, whom I love. I remember Aunt Jenny showing me her birth announcement in the Star Gazette. She said, "Bobby, look here. You have a new baby sister." I didn't know what to make of it. I don't even remember my mother was even pregnant. Marilyn, she lives in Florida, and she's the one I ask you all to pray for. Father's had her cancer in remission. That is, he has kept her alive because of our prayers and those people in her church in Florida. I truly believe this. I give much credit to the medical people, of course, who through Father have been given the knowledge that has helped her. It's all part of his plan, you see. Marilyn really lived in darkness for much of her life with no faith that she ever gave witness to me. Our parents never took her to church or went themselves. Then at 58 years old, praise the Lord, she found Father at last in the valley of the shadow of death. She turned to our Father in heaven. Today she has faith and is at peace with our Lord, though it is not in our church. I will not judge in no wise when and how. Good and light comes to others. As Father has said, if we call on the Lord, he in no wise would cast us out. John 6:37-39 says this. In other words, you can read it for yourself in the Bible. I take no credit at all, though I witnessed to her at times of our beliefs, even for her illness and during it. She and her third husband both have now repented and been baptized in a Baptist church in Florida. They now attend and are active in that church. To get back to the story now, in less than a year, again, all three of us were placed in another foster home. The home of Richard and Alice Reese, wonderful, humble people that farmed, again, on a farm at Bulkhead, but we were all three together at last. The farm, if you go down Pennsylvania Avenue all the way to the end there and turn, go to Pennsylvania, they lived in the farm on the left there with the old Stadelmeyer place. They owned it for a while, and George Farmer has a place there now, I believe. Reese's themselves had no offspring of their own, but had two adopted twin girls exactly the same age. I was 21 days older than them. They are my loving sisters to this day. Their names are June and Joyce. Again, by the grace of God, those two, as well as two other foster sisters, Sharon and Pat Conklin, they were placed with Reese's a little later after my sister left Reese's. They also are my loving sisters to this day. I love them as much as my own blood sisters. At Reese's, we attended Pennsylvania Avenue Methodist Church, a Sunday school. At Sunday school, I learned some. Now I had a belief in God, and I knew that he hears and answers prayers, so learning was made much more possible for me. I also attended Pennsylvania Avenue Elementary School. That school still recognized our Father in heaven. We had prayer each morning before class. And some of our hymns were included in our songs we sang for music class. They didn't take God out of the school, and I'm grateful they didn't. Again, the Gideons entered my life. They were allowed into the school. I learned some more, the old story of Jesus and his love. Both Old and New Testament stories. God bless all those Gideons. I could tell you of times at Reese's how I had prayed and prayers were answered, but I won't, for the sake of time, go into them. Real prayers they were indeed. My sister left Reese's in 1950 to live with my mother. My brother in 1951 went to live with my father in Medina. I chose to stay and not go with my father in the hope I might go with my mother soon. Though I was never given any encouragement in that direction by Mom. Finally, in 1952, I went to live with my mother at last. Another prayer answered. Prayed constantly about it, believe me. Then I had no church, unfortunately. But I did not forget what I had learned. Prayer worked and helped. Ten Commandments knowledge was available to my recollection now that the Holy Spirit was with me as a child. My mother moved from Madison Avenue to Fisherville. I lived with her there for a while, and I had a wild spell at 14 years old till about 16, as a lot of teenagers do, especially those that don't have the love and the care of the people that should love them around them. But that's another proof that God was with me, because never got into serious problems. Trouble, I mean. Well, being a teenager, God found me jobs working on dairy farms for room and board. I was on my own now, but not on my own looking back. I continued to go to school while on the farms. People were that gracious, good people. Both farmers, of course they were two different farms, but though they did not push me into going to their churches, nor could they, as I was a free entity, under no one's authority really. Well, again, this story takes a turn as both farmers sold their farms, dairy farms, as they were old and wanted to retire, first one and then the other. So I left, seeking shelter elsewhere. My stepfather would not allow me to come back to their home. So I had to go see my father, who had left his second wife and lived in Elmira on Erie Street. He said I could live with him, so I did. Though I had no church relationship at the time, I still prayed, and I knew Father was up there. I was more or less on my own again, as my father was seldom home. I was left by myself most of the time. Had plenty of time to get into trouble anyway, and while I was there with him in Elmira. But God kept me out of trouble, and I'm grateful to him for it. My brother Tom, who had lived with my dad, Tom was now in Boys Reform School in Rochester. I had not seen him in a long time. And he didn't do anything really serious, but he had been in trouble a couple of times, so they sent him to this boy's home up there. Then God saw fit to help me again. Believe it or not, he did. He was always there with help. Alice Reese came to our apartment. I was there alone. And it was in March of 1956. She invited me to come to a birthday party for their twins. At this time, Reese's lived in Alpine after they sold the farm at Bulkhead. While at that birthday party, they asked me if I would like to live with them again. I said I would. They even bought me a fish pole for my birthday. They knew I loved to fish, but I never had a fishing pole because I used to fish under the bridge at Bulkhead all the time and bring pails full of chubs home and stuff. But they bought me that pole for my birthday. They asked me what I wanted to do when I graduated. I said I had made up my mind that I wanted to join the Navy. Their conditions for living with them were that I did not drop out of school. Otherwise, I lived with them free gratis and had a loving place in their family. Praise God. I thank God for Reese's. There again, he's been with me and I love him. Now I was back with my family and a church family too. I will tell you that I prayed with tears of gratitude as I slept on Reese's couch that night of the birthday party, truly thankful to Father in heaven. I was a Methodist again. I learned a little more at that church and joined in the fellowship with my family and other Christians there. And I gained some lifelong Christian friends in those 3 years that I lived with Reese's family in Alpine. Well, I graduated from Odessa Central School by Father's grace, and I joined the Navy. While I was in the Navy for 4 years, I wandered the paths of unrighteousness from time to time, but not forgetting the convictions of the Holy Spirit I was blessed with, and prayer was my habit by then. Yet I still only had a vague notion of Christ's love, just a vague notion, really. I did many dangerous things while in the Navy, not the least was long-distance hitchhiking back and forth to Washington, D.C., and then I was transferred to ship. It was in Boston on long weekends of 72 hours. I used to hitchhike back and forth home, and I can remember standing along the road and praying that the Lord would help me, because I knew how vulnerable I was, but I was carefree and so on. Never had a bad experience while hitchhiking, praised Father. Yet I was willfully sinful times in the Navy. I regret those times, but I know I was forgiven because I asked. And I remember Father's promises. They're right here in my heart and in my mind. Blessed promises. John 3:16 was engraved in my memory. I could quote it. Thanks to Aunt Jenny and other church people. People that love the Lord. I wasn't afraid to ask for forgiveness or help so that I could change. No, I remember Bible stories, how Father loves and forgives. I knew even then, He wasn't willing that I should die for my sins. I knew that He loved me. Wasn't it curious that I was born just at the right time? That I never had to experience the carnage of wartime? That was another blessing to me. When I was discharged from the Navy after 4 years, I returned to Alpine for a while with Dick and Alice Reese, got a job, paid them room and board. Later, I got my own apartment in Elmira. Then I lived with my recently widowed aunt and my cousin on the Christian Hollow Road. My aunt asked me to come and live with her to help her make her house payments after my uncle died, and I couldn't have had a better home with her. But she was from my mother's generation. I love her dearly. And there again, I don't believe she ever went to church either. But like I say, I just adore her. She's 90 years old now and spry as can be. Lives in the same house up on the Christian Hollow Road. I pray for her constantly. And when I'm there now and then, I bring up something. She actually knew Archie and Martha very well. Well, my life began to change again. I was blessed with a job with New York State Electric and Gas, where I met my wife Carol, my wonderful wife Carol. For 41 years, she's been wonderful. She worked for NYSEG before I did. And 2 years later, in 1968, we were married, and we lived in Erin, where we now live. Our early years were turbulent years for Carol, as sometimes I was not an ideal husband as I should have been. Gone much of the time doing my own thing, hunting, fishing and archery, you name it. I was away. While she stayed home and nurtured our children, she has made my life so wonderful. Carol was another answered prayer in more way than you can even imagine. Yes, I was almost 28 years old, and I would pray at night that Father would give me a wife to love and cherish and to spend my life with, children to love and cherish also. Our children are right here today, of course. And my son, he had to work today, otherwise he would have been here, I know. But I'm so grateful that his wife Kim and my two grandchildren came. They're an answered prayer too, all of my grandchildren. Nevertheless, with all the blessings and answered prayer, I needed some prodding by Father, because I had neglected to do the things I should have done as a father and as a husband. If I had truly known Father in heaven, I would not have neglected those things that would have been more of a help to Carol and my children in life, especially their spiritual lives. I didn't make sure they had much of a chance to know and love the Lord as children. Not really. Very little. Regular church fellowship wasn't insisted on, though Carol tried many times to get me to take her and the children to church, but just token visits were made to the Erin Methodist Church for a time. Though, of course, I have faith and I pray for them and that I could be forgiven for my neglect. I have seen much progress towards the Lord in that direction, I believe, very much. I know that Father will continue to reveal himself to me and my family. Well, enough said about this. Another blessing occurred in my life in 1999. I had to have heart bypass surgery. Yes, a blessing. Boy, did that get my attention. Carol and I started to attend the Wygant Road Baptist Church shortly after my surgery. While I was in the hospital, I had serious words with Father again. Serious prayer and repentance were back into my life. The Baptist Church was a good start as we asked to be baptized and were finally baptized by immersion. Finally buried with Christ and raised to life with him, a new life. The Christians at that church were good, loving people, and we love them much today. But Father had other plans for us after three years with the Baptist, I believe. Things seemed to be at a standstill, and we hadn't been growing in the Lord a great deal, even though we were trying and praying for knowledge. It wasn't really forthcoming there. Then I bought myself a computer, not for the reason of gaining knowledge of the Lord at that time, but the last 3 years I worked for NYSEG. I worked at the gas compressor station at Watkins Glen, just outside of Watkins Glen on Route 14. And I had learned to use a computer from scratch. I thought they were the best thing since sliced bread. I really thought they were great. And I began to search for Bible study courses on the internet at home. And my daughter and son-in-law gave me a Bible CD-ROM as a present for a birthday. I used it in those computers at the gas compressor station as I had hours of time all alone at night up there to read the Bible and pray and so on. That was a great blessing too. I would never thought that I would have left where I worked before. I worked at Hickling Station for 30 years, and just like that, I took a cut in pay and went up there to that place. And there again, I think it was part of the plan, and I'm grateful. But I had nothing to do up there at nights, so I had plenty of time to do it. Well, we didn't have the internet up there, so that's why at home I began to search. Well, wouldn't you just know it again? Our Father in heaven intervened in my life, in our life. I was led to the SDA websites while at home with my computer. Out of all the Christian sites there are out there on the internet, the McDonald Road SDA Church in Tennessee and also the Cyber Ministry and Amazing Facts were brought to my attention. We completed the courses they offered, Carol and I, and they took us quite a long time, weeks in fact. And a dear saint at the McDonald Road SDA Church, her name was Phyllis Blosser, down there in Tennessee, asked me in an email if I would want her to contact the nearest SDA church and have someone from the church contact us. I told her we did. Well, Pastor Curtis called, and he and Brother Ernie Miller visited us. The rest is history. Church history, this church. Now our eyes have been opened, some more light has been given. We're back in the straight path by the grace of our Father. And I just say, praise his holy name. Amen. And in conclusion, I just want to read this. It is written in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Father, and he will make your path straight. So the final element of our learning must be to trust in God with all our hearts and to be prepared to go wherever he is taking us. It may not seem like the path of least resistance to us at the time, but looking back, we will always see that it was a straight path after all. And in the words of a friend of I communicate with on the internet, quote, all I have to do is look back in time and see the evidence of God's hand upon my life, the knowledge that he directed and controlled circumstances when I walked with him, from the biggest challenges to the minutest detail of everyday life. It is comforting, and it gives confidence. I can trust in him. Life is more relaxed and joyful this way. He is faithful always, on time, and in control. The knowledge that God is in control always provides assurance and comfort for me, even though we have a natural tendency to try to understand. It makes sense of every situation and circumstance. It's great to know we don't have to understand everything, nor can we really understand. Just trust in God. Thank you. In the words of the Apostle Paul, Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good works to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."